after Jesus made the fish sandwiches, in verse 14, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king. What did they want? They wanted to make him a king because of what he had done. Look at verse.
Greetings, radio friends. Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going. Before we begin our message, we've been offering a book that I have written entitled Touched by the Breath of God. This book deals with how we got the Bible, how we can defend the Bible, how we can stand up against attacks against the Bible. And many, many things are dealt with in this book as far as an apologetic for the Bible. So contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program, and we can inform you how to get a copy of the book, Touched by the Breath of God. Now for the conclusion of When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going.
You know, 666, that's the number of man. You know, then you look at the book of Revelation, that's the number of the beast, right? 666. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Wow. They went back. They turned around and they walked with Jesus no more. Let me expand that definition of tough. And as we look at the expanded definition of tough, you'll see I added some things in there. The definition of tough: strong enough to withstand adverse conditions, able to endure hardship or pain through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, if you've accepted Christ and you've been truly born again and the Holy Spirit resides in you, you can endure through any situation. These individuals that turn back, they didn't have the Spirit. And we're going to see that here from the text. They did not have the Spirit. And when things got tough in the area of discipleship, When their discipleship was challenged, when Jesus added a cost to their discipleship, many of his followers turned back and they wanted nothing to do. How do you respond when things get tough in your life? Does rejection, criticism, setbacks, loss, do they cause you to turn back? Do they cause you to become weak in your faith? Jesus is going to point out in our text today that there are those who are tough. And the tough, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So the first thing that we see today about the tough is that the tough draw from their spiritual life. The tough draw from their spiritual life. Look at verse 63. It is the Spirit that giveth life. Look at this. He says, the flesh profits nothing. And you know what? That's the problem with many of God's people, is that they're trying to fight the battle in the flesh and they're not fighting it in the Spirit. That we look at situations and we put on our fleshly boxing gloves and then we want to get in the ring and we want to fight against our relative. We want to fight against our spouse. We want to fight against our coworker. We want to fight against our church member. We put on the boxing gloves and we want to fight. Jesus said that the flesh profits nothing. These are spiritual battles. And that we have to see them as spiritual battles. You know, whenever you get in conflict with someone, you know, it's not a fleshly battle. It's a battle that has to be fought in the spirit, in the power of the spirit. Let's finish that verse, verse 63. It is the spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Beautiful words of life. That as we read the word of God and we let it get into our heart, that's life. That's life. That's bringing your soul to life. And when we have the spirit and when we have life in our soul, you put that slide back up there. How you respond in tough times is an indication of your spiritual life. And I've said this on many occasions. And you know, the fact is that Jesus was saying the same thing. It said many of his disciples left and followed him no more. Well, what was that an indication of? That was an indication that their spiritual life, if they had any at all, was very weak. When you hit hard times and you are squeezed, what comes out of you? What comes out of you? I've given preaching 29, going on 30 years here. You know, I know I've given some of the same illustrations over and over again, right? And so don't think I'm going senile when I give these illustrations. You know, I look at it like this. You know, it's like choirs, right? They sing songs that they have sung, right? So I'm gonna give my illustration, right? But you know, when you take a rag and you dip it in water, and you squeeze it, water comes out. If you dip that rag in orange juice and you squeeze it, orange juice comes out, right? So when you're squeezed, whatever is inside of you is going to come out, right? And so if you have been dipped in worldliness, if you have been dipped in gossip, if you have been dipped in lust and fleshly desires, and you are squeezed, guess what's going to come out of you? Those things will come out of you. But if you've been dipped in Bible study and devotional time and singing the hymns of the faith and fellowship with the saints, and you are squeezed, guess what's going to come out? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That when you are squeezed, you know, I preach the message. Let's look at Proverbs 24 and verse 10. I preached the message a couple of months ago from Proverbs 24 and verse 10. And it says, if you fall out, if you get weak and fall out in the day of adversity, what does that indicate? That your faith is small, that your strength is small. And the message that I preached, the title of the message was, it's showtime, right? It's showtime. And the idea was that, you know, you come and you hear the word of God preached on Sundays. You come to LifeQuest. You come to Sunday school. You come to Bible Institute. You have daily devotionals. You listen to David Jeremiah and Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley and Tony Evans. You know, you listen to some of the powerhouse preachers. And all that culminates when you come to that day of testing, when you come to that day of being squeezed, and when you are squeezed, all that has prepared you for that time. That when you get the word that you got to go to the hospital because you're dealing with a serious issue, you can either, as we look back to that man that was standing at the crossroads, not going or get going. You can stand there and you cannot go, and you can be frustrated, and you can be beat up, and you can be beat down when the going gets tough. Or you can look back and say, with the power of God, with the help of God, I'm going to make it through. You know, I remember when I was in the hospital, and they told me that I had possibly had a couple of heart attacks or one heart attack. That's what the thing was showing. So I don't know what's going on. But I remember I sent out an email to the congregation. And if some of you might remember that email. And in the email I said, it's showtime. Right? It's showtime. And they took me down to the operating room. They put me out. All right? The doctor did his probe. It's showtime, baby. It's showtime. All that stuff that you have done up until this point, now we're going to see where you're at. That when you are squeezed, what's going to come out of you? Praise God. He gave a testimony, right? And the testimony was when the doctor stuck, it's hard to believe, right, that, you know, to go to your heart, they go right through your wrist, right? They go all up in there. And when he got up in there and probed and looked, you know, and the guy, the anesthesiologist, you know, woke me up. And, you know, when you're under anesthesiology, you know, you think that, you know, you might be out for 3 hours, and it just seemed like a couple minutes, right? Yeah. So I woke up, and I said, oh, man, how long did that take? He said, about 5 minutes. He said he went up there, didn't see anything. And I said, praise God, praise God. But God brings you to that place that when you have that day of adversity, when you don't know what's happening, when you don't know what's going on inside, that you better have something that has carried you up to that point so that when you get to that point, you can say, by your grace, Lord, by your grace, Lord, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. The tough draw from their spiritual life. The tough have the ability to endure. That you have the ability to endure. Jesus was telling these people that if you really were connected with me, you will be able to endure what I'm telling you. You'll be able to make it through what I'm telling you. Look at verse 65. And he said, therefore, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That the only way that we could come to Jesus is by the Father drawing us and by the Father putting it within us to embrace Christ. And that when we embrace Christ, I like the song that the choir sings, A Strength Not of My Own. That whenever you are dealing with situations, that you have a strength that's not your own. It's a strength that comes because God is in you. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. This is a strength that God gives us, the ability to endure. Whatever it is what we go through, that he gives us the ability to endure. You know, I like that one song that is one of the oldies, and it was like a rock. And it's, I think it was actually used for Chevy, a commercial for Chevy, like a rock. And the guy said, I was strong as I could be, like a rock. Nothing ever got to me, like a rock. I was something to see, like a rock. And that should be our testimony. That should be our testimony. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can be like a rock. That we can endure whatever situations that we have to go through, like a rock. Is that your testimony? Is that when hard times come, when tough times come, that you're like a rock? Not in your own strength. Jesus already said that the flesh is worthless. The flesh is worthless. But if you're in the spirit, you can stand like a rock. Oh, again, that doesn't mean that we don't have concern. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're irresponsible. What it means is that whatever I'm going through, that the storm may come from the outside, but on the inside, I can be like a rock. Like the little boy, you know, who was out off the off the coast, and he was on a rock, and the waves kept splashing, and you know, the lifeguard was on the way and said, just hold on, hold on. And he got there and got the little boy off the rock, and he asked him how he was doing, how he made it. He said, sir, he said, you know, I was kind of nervous, but the rock didn't move. The rock didn't move. And if God is our rock, we won't be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. The tough have the ability to endure. That these individuals, when the message got hard, there should have been some endurance for them to hang in there with Jesus. But because they had no root, because they were not rooted in the Lord, the Bible said that many of his disciples turned away and walked with him no more. And then my last point is the tough. Whew. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. The tough realize who Jesus is. Man, do you know who Jesus is? I mean, have you realized who he is? If you realize who he is, the tough can hang on and hang in. Look at verse 67. There is no other help. The tough realize there's no other help. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more, because he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, identifying with him in his death. They walked back, they turned around and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said unto the 12, will you go away also? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? We got to be the biggest fools in the world. If we go anywhere else, where else are we going to go? Are we going to turn to Buddha? Are we going to turn to Confucius? Are we going to turn to Mormonism? Are we going to turn to Jehovah's Witness? Where are we going to go? You know, I think of that song, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, right? So I kind of wrote a new part of that song, okay? Have you ever heard of a shamrock, right? And a shamrock is like a leafy thing that if you try to stand on it, it just crumbles, right? It just falls. If you try to walk, if you want water and you try to walk on a shamrock, right, you're just going to fall right to the ground. So I changed the words to that song. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are shamrocks. All other rocks are shamrocks. Peter realized that Christ was the only solid rock and that all other rocks were shamrocks. Where else are we going to go? I've had people, members here at Bethany, for years, walk away from their faith. Walk away. I'm like, wow. You know, after you sat and you drank the goodness of the Lord, you've heard about the goodness of the Lord, and then you turned around and walked away. And my question is, each and every time, what are you walking away to? One of the last members that walked away, that I talked to, said, well, you know, I just can't believe that the whole Bible was true. And there's just a lot of things in that Bible that I can't believe. That's what that person told me, right? And walked away. I look at that, and I say, but what are you walking to? You drank the Kool-Aid. You believe in the lie. And you're standing on a shamrock. You know, if I ask God, man, if I ever think about turning away and leaving, that he would grab me by the neck and he would give me one of them Looney Tunes slaps, like that, all right? And then I go, okay, all right, I'm good now. I'm good now. Peter said, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? The tough realize who Jesus is. And the tough know that he has the words of eternal life. That he not only has words to, you know, root my soul in him right now, but he can carry my soul in eternity. And then Peter realized that he was the Son of the living God. Look what he said here. And verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That when you realize who Jesus is, that he is the Son of the living, that, do you know who God is? That God is the ruler of the universe. That God is the almighty, the omniscient, the omnipresent, the immutable. Do you know who God is? That God is the all-sufficient one. That God is the sovereign one. That God is all in all. That God, in his omnipresence, that he left himself where he was to go with himself where he was going, to meet himself where he was at. Do you realize who God is? And Jesus is his... And Jesus is his Son, the Son of the living God. Peter realized who Jesus was. He was the Son of the living God. And as I close the message today, I want to share with you a story about two frogs. And as we think of this story about two frogs, two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, croaked number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye, sad world. And while weeping, he drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. And while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes, I'll swim a while, at least he said, or so it has been said. It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam, and not once did he stop to mutter. But he kicked and swam and swam and kicked and hopped out via butter. When the going gets tough, when the going gets tough, you can throw your hands up and quit, or you can keep kicking and scratching and fighting through the power of the Holy Spirit and turn your trial, your adversity, into butter and walk out on it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of It Ain't Hip to Crit. If you want to have an audio copy of today's message, When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going. Or you can call 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 resources that are available. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I'd like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.